podcast for the Man of Shandy and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show, everyone. This is season 8, episode 7, episode number 322. How is it going?
Better.
Yeah, how you feeling, Shandy?
Yeah.
Much, much better. My nose is still, I think I sound a little sick still.
Barely.
And like, I didn't go to the gym today. Like, I'm not like fully back. Like, I can't. The thought of like doing cardio sounds a little exhausting to me right now still.
I had that same problem.
Yeah.
Maybe just like lie on a yoga mat for 30 minutes.
My plan was to do yoga instead. Yeah. I ended up doing yard work, which
that's good really cardio. Yard
work. I watered plants. Let's call that yard work.
I love that. That yeah, you know.
But you can say that like while you were holding the hose, you were doing squats or something.
There sure.
You were stepping back and forth. Done. Exactly. Exercise.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So other than that, though, I'm good. I'm back to work on yesterday was my first day back in person. Man, teleworking is where it's at. And I mean, I've wanted a fully remote position for like years and years and years. And it is like my white whale that I can't remember if I've said this on the podcast, but literally there are six of us siblings and four of the six.
I think you have said that.
Just like statistically, how is it the one who like has been wanting it the most for the longest?
That's why. Yeah. That's totally why.
Fuck. Yeah. Anyway, like statistically, like, get me into those 2/3. But anyway, that was a treat. And now I'm back. But well, I am feeling better, so that's nice.
Okay. I'm glad that you are feeling better.
Yeah. Indeed.
And you'll get there with the cardio. I remember it took me quite some time as well to kind of feel like I was up to like exercise snuff.
Yeah.
To anything but the bare minimum to get through the day.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy though, because like even when we spoke last week, the worst of my symptoms had already passed.
Yeah.
And I was feeling better every day, like a little bit better every day. But then like, even by the time we got to the weekend, I was just like tired again. It's almost like, I regressed a little bit. And now I'm like officially like, I feel like, okay, I can like, you know, do things. Oh, I went to choir yesterday. That was great.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that though. I feel like when you're coming out of, you know, an illness, especially, you know, something like COVID, it's like you ease yourself back in, but it's still like the tendency to like go a little harder than maybe you should. And then it's like, come the weekend, you're like, oh, right, I'm still recovering. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Like I push too hard. Like, I feel like that is a very human thing.
Yeah. And I mean, also like, honestly, like it feels like a COVID-y thing. Cause usually like when I've had like colds before, or even like the last time that I had the flu, like in however many years ago, it did kind of feel like, okay, one day you're better and you're just like totally better.
Maybe really? That's just me.
Yeah. I'm trying to like remember.
I think too. I feel like
when I had the flu, it was like, and it was a fast flu. And then I was just like totally fine.
That's how I felt about having my tonsils taken out. But I don't know about recovering from COVID. I do remember being very tired for like a long time. And that was like the only symptom. Like I was fine in all other ways. I just felt like
I'm saying really like I feel like this is like tired. A COVID thing.
Yeah.
Which sucks. Another reason to not get COVID.
Well, there is that.
Yeah.
I am glad. We talked about this last week, but I think it might have gotten cut out because I had to get 28 minutes worth of stuff out. And only 7 of that was our timeout for the commercial break.
Damn.
So I took out, what did I take out? I took out the whole discussion that I had about taking Zach to the doctor and the flu shots and how the doctor said that we should wait to get our COVID shots in the fall. Because that was the thing that I felt that we were most likely to talk about again. And I was right because it came up a week later. Vindicated. Everything stinks. But we did get an email from our pediatrician over the weekend that they are going to have a flu clinic. As long as you have the same insurance as your kids, you can come get your flu shot as well at the same time. There was no mention of COVID shots in that email, but she had said, which is what the guidelines were released, I believe, within the last day or so, that we're recommending to wait until the fall to get your COVID shot because it will be updated. So there we go. What took like 10 minutes to explain last week in like 15 seconds today.
Hey, you had a whole week to work on your story.
So yeah, I did my, I did the rounds calling today to make all the appointments for the fall. My, you know, regular health yearly general practitioner wellness visit. My OBGYN is booked for 2 full months.
Yeah.
Which I was kind of bummed about. I was like, man, I wanted to get everything done in, you know, in September. So it's the day after the weekend, like the Tuesday after the Indigenous People weekend that we're going to be in Asheville, Shandy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, darn it. My blood work might not turn up so great.
Little high on the track.
There's a lot of breweries in Asheville.
Yeah.
Ah, have a glass of water in between.
Yeah, there we go.
Water, beer, water, beer, water, beer. You'll be fine.
Well, I think, as we've dug down before, I kind of hit a hard limit with beer where I just can't drink anymore because I get full. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, how's it going? Anybody have anything exciting happen to them over the last week?
I went to see Barbie again.
You did.
Nice.
I did, because I had to go see it by myself the first time. And one of the friends that I had said, like, hey, do you want to go see it with me? She's like, I can't this weekend, but I do really want to see it. Like, how about next weekend? And I was like, well, I've got this podcast, so like, I need to see it this weekend. But I did agree that I would go see it with her again.
Nice.
Oh, and good.
It was fun. It was fun to, like, you know, as we sort of discussed last week, we all suspected that seeing it again, mm-hmm. would catch things that you didn't see the first time, which was very much true. But it was also just the crowd of the theater was also it was just a different vibe because I went to like a matinee, whereas this was like a 6:45 show. Mm. So it was like a real mix of all different types of people. Like we were sitting next to a family with like 2 little girls and like the whole family, like, knew the assignment. Dad was in pink shorts. Everybody was in pink. It was adorable. And then there was, you know, others, you know, general adults and stuff. And there was cheering and like reactions to things that I didn't get the first time around, which was really fun. Like there was definitely some moments where like, I knew there was a lot of references to things that like were going over my head. Like I knew there was a lot of Matrix references in the movie, but like having never really seen the Matrix, like I didn't pick up on those.
You've never seen the Matrix?
I know I haven't. I know. I have like huge holes.
It's so good.
I have huge holes in my like cinematic understanding.
I have huge holes.
Yeah. I have like Matrix size holes.
See, I thought you were like way above me on, I mean, this is one movie, so.
Yeah, it's very.
But like, man, the Matrix.
What I know, I really know, but I have huge, huge gaps in knowledge. That being one of them. So like there was definite like polls and like references of things that people were like, ah, or like, you know, would exclaim or gasp. And I was like, oh, that was a reference I didn't get. Cool. And like little moments. Like I didn't realize the first time around, like that wide shot after Barbie sends Ken home for girls' night. He's like dancing. He's like practicing the choreography, like in the courtyard as he's like leaving the dream houses. Like, that's adorable.
Really?
I didn't see that the first time. You know, he's doing like that sort of pullback dance that they were doing prior. He's kind of like doing amazing. It out. Like, I was like, oh, I didn't see that the first time. That's really funny.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I do want to rewatch it. I know it's going to be streaming on September 5th, but like for purchase streaming. So not like, you know, the good accessible streaming, you know what I mean? Accessible streaming. Like, I don't think it's like free on Max or whatever yet. This is Warner Brothers, right? So that'd be on.
Yeah, it's Warner Brothers. So it should be on
HBO,
Max.
Formerly HBO Max. Well, cool. Yeah, now you're making me want to go rush out and see it.
Definitely.
It's fun.
Again.
Yeah.
Anything else interesting happen? My week was very quiet, which was nice because my week is never quiet or rarely quiet. It's okay if nobody had interesting weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're gearing up to potty train. We're going to potty train next week. Yes. So, you know, Godspeed. Ooh. Godspeed to us.
Is that the spring / end of summer break?
Yeah. That's, you know, the spring break. Yeah. So we're reading the books and we got all the supplies and we'll do this thing.
Cool.
All right.
Cool. Good luck.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here. So we are joined live tonight. The Hangout Level patron had the opportunity to join us. If you'd like to become a patron at the Hangout Level, you can go to jandjack.com. I'm sorry, patreon.com/jandjack. Okay. Any last minute thoughts? I didn't even pull up. I haven't even opened my stuff for the next segment. Somebody vamp real quick. My Gmail's loading.
I have a quick gross story.
Perfect. Oh, all the way. Go for it.
Love it. Do here it. For it.
So one thing that happened when I was working from home last week was Gabby got to go outside a lot more because I was here like all day, every day, which is cool for her. She's been really chill. I think it's the heat, a combination of the heat and like her being like now like a middle-aged cat in cat years.
It's so freaking hot outside.
So hot. Anyway, so she doesn't really like go on long adventures usually. She just pretty much chills and like stays on the porch or like stays on the neighbor's porch. But I noticed one day when she came back during the week, she was like on the porch and I looked out and there was like something at her feet. And it was very clearly like the remains of a something. And
oh,
I looked,
no.
I know. And I looked closer and it was a little bird foot and like a feather.
Oh no. Oh no.
And so she caught a bird, which we've rescued some of the little ones that she's caught before, right? And usually that's only like a sort of a spring thing, like when they're you know, trying to fly and stuff. And we try to be really careful. And anyway, whatever. And my thing is always like, I know like cats are a problem for bird populations and stuff, so I don't feel great about that. She does have a bell on her collar, but also I'm not going to just like keep her inside because, you know, anyway, but my main thing is like, if she catches something and just kind of like maims it and then it just like dies a slow, painful death, like that's just awful. Cause then it's just like, it's not even serving a purpose. So for this, I was like, well, this is fucking awful. But at least she ate it.
Yeah.
At least she got a meal out of it.
It was a snack.
The circle of life instead of just like, you know.
It's literally what her genes are telling her to do.
Exactly. She ate that whole motherfucker. And yeah. So there you go. Little Gabby. Don't be fooled by her cuteness.
She will eat a bitch, apparently.
Apparently.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
So yeah.
Wow.
The whole damn thing.
Little, except for the foot. One foot.
One foot.
It's like, oh, I couldn't possibly. So fall. I'm a lady after all. Leave something behind.
Yeah. So that happened.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Well, in the name of moving this along quickly, because I got to go watch Ahsoka tonight. Nothing to do with the murdered birds, but
you said to rip my filled some airspace.
Well, you know what? Nature, man.
Yep.
Circle of life.
Circle of life.
Circle of life.
I don't know if Natasha listens to this or not, but she, I guess, all right, fine. If we're going along this vein, sorry, everybody. She had a bird's nest in the wreath on her front door, and she was like chronicling it on Twitter or X or whatever the fuck it's called now. And, you know, she was so, you know, and I had like tweeted at her and been like, you know, oh my God, we had that, and there was like bird shit everywhere. So, like, be careful. We had to throw out the wreath, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so whatever. So she was giving updates of the birds. And she gave an update. She posted a tweet one day saying that she heard a giant slam against her front door one morning, early in the morning. She thought somebody was trying to break in. She lives alone. She called the police. The police came out because, again, it was like early in the morning. Police came out. They checked the perimeter. They told her they didn't see anything except a cat or an animal must have jumped at the door. That was the loud bang that she heard that sounded like somebody was trying to break in, and none of the baby birds survived.
Oh no! Oh, that's so sad.
I'm sorry, Tasha, if you wanted to tell that story yourself, but...
Oh, man. Wait, and this was recent?
Yeah, it was probably a month ago. It was...
Birds are hunting again? I want to say
it was after... It was before Comic-Con, but not that much before Comic-Con.
That's possible, actually, because my parents had, like, a bird's nest, like, in, like... They have, like, a sun porch over their, like, driveway. And, like, in the boards underneath, there was a nest because we were trying to do some like wedding DIY stuff and we had to move because the baby birds were like yelling and getting mad at us because we were too close.
I did not realize that the birds also had babies in the heat of summer. It's like,
well, she's in Maryland. She's not here. I mean, it's
say like heat. I'm just mostly thinking about heat, but in August, like that's,
It did seem,
whether or not withstanding, just like season-wise, that seems very strange. Yeah. I didn't realize that. Now I'm wondering if we have any birds that hatch here in August? I hope it wasn't a baby bird that she ate.
don't go there. Just don't go there.
Yeah, hopefully it was a very old, small bird that had lived a very long life.
okay.
Long bird life.
Oh.
Oh my goodness.
They've done
everything they wanted to do on their little birdie bucket list.
Yep.
Little birdie bucket list. Caught a worm, hit on somebody's head. Yeah. What a life.
Just really, I've done everything. I've done everything as a bird I wanted to do.
Yep.
Okay, so speaking of Barbie, after the movie came out, there were a bunch of, you know, threads on the internet, and BuzzFeed had compiled them, and I got a bunch of notifications to my phone about them, but this was the one that I clicked on, and it was, so many women have dumped their boyfriends after Barbie, but this woman's story has to be the wildest one yet.
Oh my God, I love this already.
Now, full disclosure, I only skimmed this. I didn't read the whole thing, so if it sucks, I'm sorry. but when did BuzzFeed ever really let us down?
Yeah.
So, here we go. So this was on Am I the Asshole? And it was Am I the Asshole for Breaking Up with My Boyfriend Over the Barbie Movie? Here is the story. 3 days ago, my boyfriend and I went to go see the Barbie movie. I've been really excited as I'm a huge Greta Gerwig fan. And other than Ryan Gosling being in the movie, my boyfriend knew nothing else about it. I, on the other hand, was aware of its feminist themes and was secretly hoping my boyfriend would get the message. Over the duration of the movie, I could tell he was getting more and more uncomfortable and upset, and I was getting really sad both from the movie and his reaction. I knew we would end up having a conversation about it afterwards. He didn't talk to me until we got in the car. He then told me he was really offended by the movie and said that it was the kind of thing I should have watched with my girlfriends and not him.
Wow.
I understood where he was coming from, but I'm not going to even start explaining why I disagreed. We have been having problems with his weird comments about women, the LGBT plus community, and other stuff. He would deem it bitch shit. So fucking offensive.
Spoiler alert, you were not the asshole.
Yes. Also, I'm going to go out on a limb and say you were not the asshole.
Yes, also.
But please continue the story.
Petition to name this episode bitch shit. What's your podcast about? I don't know, bitch shit.
Bitch shit.
We should just change the tagline to that.
Yep. I don't see why not. Love it.
Yep.
Jacob, we need a shirt that says bitch shit.
Oh my God. Yes.
Jacob.
Maybe it was a long time coming, but Barbie was the straw that broke the camel's back. I was tired of always having to deal with his attitude and disrespect, and was also maybe on this girl power high. So I told him it was over. The complicated part is this. He lived with me. He has been in between serving jobs. And since he was my freaking boyfriend, I let him move in with me 6 months ago. This guy sounds like a winner. Living with him is a whole other story, but I couldn't take it anymore. And after the breakup, had him leave my apartment the next day. I stayed at my friend's house while he packed up his stuff. He said he understood and that he didn't want to live with me another second anyway. Baby.
Mm-hmm.
I assumed he had a place to go, but apparently he didn't. His brother called me a few hours ago saying he's MIA. His friends are blowing up my phone too, saying the same thing. I feel like this is all my fault. No one has heard from him in 24 hours.
Oh, shit.
Not your problem. Not your problem.
Right? I did think it was weird when I came home and all the food in the fridge was gone. All the batteries in our electronics drawer were gone. And he took my phone charger and half the blankets.
Change the locks.
Yes,
exactly. I now know he did not, in fact, have anywhere to go or a car since he had been using mine since his engine busted last month. The worst part is we still have his location, and it's saying he's two states away. She must mean on the iPhone location.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
I don't know how he got there. I can't believe this is all because of the freaking Barbie movie.
Well, don't be a sexist asshole.
Mm-hmm. She did post an update though, but she did get a lot of, so BuzzFeed has shared a lot of the good comments that she got. He sounds like an awful person. It's a movie, for fuck's sake. If he was so deeply offended by a movie with feminist themes, that's his problem. It shouldn't be yours. It sounds like he knows someone a couple, I agree with this one. It sounds like he knows someone a couple states away and is trying to make everyone think that you made him homeless. Oh, look at what you did to me kind of thing. Yep. You are absolutely not the asshole. I'm happy you got out of it before his behavior turned even worse for you.
Yeah.
I kind of think that too. Like,
yeah.
I feel like he packed up those batteries and went
seriously. It's like all that stuff. I'm like, oh, is he going on like the Macho Man version of Wild? Like, is he going,
Yeah, what's the
walk to discover himself?
What's the blue check bro version of Eat, Pray, Love?
Right.
Going to the woods. Going to space.
We're gonna call this guy Battery Karen from now on.
Where I'm going, I need her batteries.
And one phone charger.
And one phone charger.
A couple of blankets and we're good.
Yeah, stay warm.
Well, can you guys, so I'll read you the update. Can you ladies guess where this story is going?
Oh, that wasn't the end?
No, she gave an update in the comments after she got an update.
Sorry, you said that. I got distracted. Okay.
Can you guess where this story is headed?
He went to the Capitol on January 6th?
He came back for more batteries.
The remote ran out.
Just came back for the TV and the remote.
I needed to charge my Nintendo. No. All right. So here is the update. So it turns out a day later, she revealed that she found out that Batteries Karen was cheating on her. Shocker. And she says, the way I found out was actually kind of funny. His brother has been keeping me semi-updated on the missing Ken situation. His brother even, I know, right? His brother even thanked me for taking care of him for as long as I did.
Wow.
Brother then texted me at 9 this morning saying that we don't need to worry anymore because he's at their cousin's house in Colorado Springs. Then around noon, I got multiple calls from a friend of his saying that he'd heard from him. Friend is telling me stuff like he's literally so much happier now that you've let him go, and he just felt bad for me and said that I was charity work. And then he said now he's with his main for real, meaning his main, he's getting some real pussy now. The friend paused and I asked him to clarify, and he gave me that, oh, shit, laughing thing that boys do when they say something they weren't supposed to. And then he said, fuck you, and hung up. This guy.
Like a bunch of winners.
Yeah, she, seriously.
She truly dodged a million bullets here.
Oh, my God.
The potentially wild part, wildest part that has, that's been getting to me, is that he definitely is at his cousin's house. His brother confirmed it. I've seen his cousin on his Insta feed before, and she's literally stunning. He said she's his second cousin, and I don't really know how related they are, but if this is real, I can't even comprehend what that means. Even if it's not real, I think it's the perfect ending to this story.
Oh my God. Oh. He's getting some real pussy, some real cousin pussy.
The real cousin pussy.
RCP.
RCP. There you go. That's some big pussy energy.
Damn.
I think we're due for a season 3 of Girls by Bevasoon.
Still need to see a second season.
It's good. That's where the big pussy energy come from, is the second season. Nice. There's a whole song that's called Big Pussy Energy.
Nice.
Yeah. we can do one more real quick if you guys want to.
Sure.
Okay. This was my second 8-hour flight on my way home from Africa via Dubai. I had booked an aisle seat so I could get up without bothering others and a special meal due to health requirements. I boarded the plane, found my seat, and settled in. A family gets on with 3 kids and asks if I can switch seats with one of the kids so they can be together. The father family wasn't sitting anywhere near the mother and the kids, so it looked to me like they had left their seats to a random assignment, which I feel the sympathy there because it is expensive to, it adds up to purchase the seats together, which I still think it's bullshit that you should have
to get family seats together. The airline should seat families together. It shouldn't be the individual's decision to give up their seat or not.
Especially when we're talking about minors. A parent shouldn't be in that position.
Well, exactly. And I think it's absolute bullshit that you have to, even like domestically, that you have to do that, because so many times I have not done that because always the seats that are left are like 35 extra. And I'm like, I'm going to have to pay an extra $105 for the 3 of us to sit together, like, mm-hmm. or for 3 of us to sit together or whatever. Like, it's just, I don't know. I think it's outrageous. And I have very strong thoughts about how fucking terrible airlines are. Anyway,
it's the airlines. People should be mad at the airlines, not at individual other customers.
Right. It's like no one should be in that position in the first place.
Exactly.
Who probably paid extra for their fucking aisle seat.
Right.
Well, this person had to have paid extra. I'm assuming they paid extra for their aisle seat. Okay. Random assignment. I initially said yes, thinking it was just to move across the aisle, but then realized they wanted me to switch to a middle seat.
No.
And I said no. Which always makes me, I'm forever grateful to the people who have volunteered to take the middle seat. There was one instance when Zach and Alex were together and I was in the middle seat. So there was somebody on the aisle in between us and I got them all set up and I figured that they would be fine because they were just on tablets and, you know, they're zombies on tablets anyway. And it had to have been a young college student. Like the kid, he could not have been more than 20, 21 years old. And he volunteered to switch seats with me and take the middle seat so I could sit next to them on the end. And it was when we were going to Florida and even said, I was like, hey, they're going to be okay. Like, I don't mind sitting here. You know, I don't want you to have to spend 2 hours in the middle just so I can watch my kids watch a screen. Like, it's totally fine. But he was so nice about it. So, and he ended up sitting in front of the woman he was traveling with, who was also a college age student. He ended up sitting in the seat directly in front of her. So I guess, you know, it was easier to turn around and talk to her or whatever, like over this. I don't know, whatever. But he was very kind.
Yeah. That's very nice.
So I said no. Another passenger then gets up and says he has a seat in the back that I can move to. No idea how. And I said no. I said that I had booked my seat and ordered a dietary meal, and there was no way I was moving to a middle seat. He then starts loudly criticizing me and saying he hopes I understand that I'm splitting a family up. So this is a total stranger.
Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. The airline is splitting a family up.
Right. You're getting mad at the wrong person, dude.
A lot of people cannot afford to spend the extra. It's so expensive to fly nowadays anyway. Mm-hmm. A lot of people can't afford to spend that extra money. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so infuriating. This eventually attracts attention from the crew because it's holding up boarding. Oh my God, that's so embarrassing.
Right.
They got him.
His demo was like, I'm just going to make a huge stink and eventually the other person's going to cave.
Yeah.
For the stranger. This stranger was advocating for the family. Like, that's so ridiculous.
Oh, wait, this wasn't the dad?
No, this wasn't the dad. This was another passenger that said, I can switch seats with you if you want to move to the back. I'll sit in the middle and he can sit on the end. That's what it sounds like to me.
Oh, like, sit down, bro. Stop making it complicated.
Get right here. They got a passenger on the other end of the row to switch and sit somewhere else so their kids could sit together. The other passenger from before then starts loudly saying to his kids and the family, do you understand what happened? She thought her seat was too special, so she wouldn't let you sit together. I told the guy to mind his own business, and he responded that he wasn't talking to me. I was exhausted and sleep deprived by this point, and I told him to stop talking about me and just can it. I didn't think I was in the wrong here. I organized myself beforehand, booked my seat, felt it was quite unfair to have a random guy criticizing me to half the cabin for not wanting to swap to a middle seat for an 8-hour flight. Am I the asshole?
No.
No.
Part of me also wonders if she said she was coming back from Africa, if she was a Black woman and it was a MAGA asshole random stranger that was screaming at her.
Definitely possible.
Yeah, absolutely possible.
I can't imagine another scenario in which somebody would yell, like a stranger from the back of the plane would yell at a random woman to advocate for a family.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't know. I mean, it's certainly possible, but
it would be more likely.
It's yes. In today's climate, it would have been more likely if that was the scenario. Of course, there's no identifying factors for anybody's nationality in here. However, I will go out on a limb here and say plain Karen was definitely a white Republican.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Without a doubt.
Yes.
Nobody else feels that entitled. Like there just aren't other people on the planet that feel that entitled.
Yes. Hey, speaking of white Republicans, did you see Kid Rock was caught drinking Bud Light at a concert?
The picture, I was like, how can anyone see that that's actually Bud Light? I don't know.
The video, it's pretty obvious. It's Bud Light. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, that just looks like a can with a blob. I don't know. But that's pretty funny.
All the things that we need to care about in the world these days, that is not a thing I feel like I need to care about.
But it is
destroy yourselves over your petty problems, Fox News watchers. I do not have time.
Yeah. What's funny though to me is that like it's such the like them getting the all worked up about it and you know, boycotting Bud Light is obviously like horrific and ridiculous for the reasons that they did it, but it is like the easiest thing in the world to boycott because it's fucking gross. Like I boycott it every single day without actually boycotting it just because I like would never buy that. And yet Kid Rock can't even like follow through on it.
Imagine loving Bud Light so much that you can't even keep to your fake boycott for 4 fucking months.
It's crazy.
Drink a Miller Light in public. Like,
it's fucking crazy. Yeah. There are a million.
You have like, no any discipline, beer, Kid Rock. Any beer.
It's going to be better than Bud Light.
They all taste like piss to me.
Yeah. Just order a glass of water. Like, that's really that's what you wanted. Just wanted like dirty lake water. Like that's what you wanted.
That's wild.
Wild. Like, because I mean, obviously we knew it was bigotry for performance, for show, right? Like performative outrage. Yeah.
But couldn't even follow through.
Performative outrage. Is that a real term or did you just make that up? I love that.
I don't know if I made it up or not, but here we are. I said it.
Calling it. Yeah. Hashtag performative outrage.
Yeah, no, crazy. But remember that time that, okay, so when he shot it up with the AR-15, I rewatched that video last night because I had to write an article on it. That's how I know all of these things, because I did some research last night when I was writing it. And I rewatched the video, and he had, I think it's like 4 cases of Bud Light. And did you know that he only manages to hit one of them while using a fucking AR-15?
Yikes.
Oh my God. Wow. America is not a meritocracy.
No, it's not. He's also came from a rich family. He grew up in a 5,600 square foot house with horse stables, an in-ground pool, like 9 fucking bathrooms. I'm not kidding. I went through the real estate listing of his childhood house last night as well while doing my research.
Oh, damn.
I was like, so you're just cosplaying white trash for fun? Yeah. Like, I don't get it.
In the immortal words of Dolly Parton, it costs a lot to look this cheap.
Ah, love me some Dolly. Did you hear Dolly's cover of Let It Be with Sir Paul singing and playing piano? No. Ringo's playing drums. Mick Fleetwood is playing guitar, I think. And Mick Fleetwood's playing percussion.
He'd be on the drums, yeah.
What's his name? Damn it. The other one. Shit, hold on. Peter Frampton? Is he alive still?
Yeah, he's still alive. Could be Peter Frampton. He's a guitar player.
Hold on. I'll just look it up now so I don't have to cringe later. It is Peter Frampton. Okay. So yeah, and it's awesome. It is such a great cover. Definitely check it out if you haven't checked it out yet. It's part of her like the Rockstar album that she's putting out, because remember she felt like a fraud getting inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So she said she had to put out a rock album in order to justify it. So she did. And it's like 25 tracks long.
Damn.
God, there is nothing she can't do.
I know. She's such a
cool lady. She is amazing.
Yes. But definitely, if you haven't heard this cover, definitely check it out. Like, she does it in Dolly style. Sir Paul does the background vocals. He harmonizes with her perfectly, but it's like his current voice, not his like young man voice. Mm-hmm. So it actually really fits really well with her too. And like, it's just everything about it is spectacular. Like, oh, I really think it's a great cover. Oh, and that's high praise, because that's one of my favorite Beatles songs. So
I'm gonna look this up. Thanks for the tip.
You're welcome. Now I've given you 2 assignments. Watch the I'm Just Ken behind the scenes music video and listen to the Let It Be. Okay. Anything else? Oh, did we agree that is that lady the asshole or not?
Oh, no, definitely not.
Definitely not.
Okay. It would have been, as a parent who's been in that situation, I'm sure the family would have appreciated it. But if 3 of them were together, or 4 of them, you know, if any of them were together and it was just to get the one parent closer, then it didn't say that they were like kids. Like, you know, if it was like a 2-year-old that was separated or a 3-year-old separated from their parents, then I could be like, you know, maybe.
Yeah, fuck, like, yeah, maybe.
Our flight.
If this is naive, let me know. But if it was a 2-year-old that was separated from their parents, couldn't you fucking tell the plane people, like, you need to find a solution for this?
Probably. I think at that point, that would be when you asked at the gate, like, hey, is there any way we can switch, or ask the flight attendant to make an announcement? Mm-hmm. Like, if there was, like, an issue like that, I would, you know, I've had flight attendants come around and been like, hey, do you mind switching seats?
That's such bullshit.
Okay, it's 2 really... was just a number. Like, but Alex is 5, and Alex has been separated from us. But again,
airlines should tablets, baby. Families together. It's just, it's awful.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you should not have to pay more money to sit your family together. That is bullshit. Your seats, when you buy them, should be together.
Right. Especially if you buy them at the same time, under the same purchase.
Exactly.
The same credit card. Like, if we're just assigning seats, like, numerically,
yeah,
check in like together. I mean, come on,
it just makes no sense of why you would scatter 4 people that bought their tickets together under one purchase, why you would scatter them across the plane. That just makes no sense.
Because capitalism.
Right. Because then we wouldn't incentivize you to pay extra money to pick your seat.
I did a big catch up on the daily today because I was trying to clean and reorganize Zach's room because it's a disaster again. And first of all, their coverage of the Maui fires, the one from, was it yesterday or Friday? I think it was Friday's made me cry. That guy's story.
I had to stop listening because it was like too intense.
It's like a movie. Yeah. Like he saves the dog from the water and then he saves this old man, this old like overweight guy that she thought wasn't going to make it. And the guy suddenly makes it. And then they get out of there only to find that there's this and they came there this obstacle before they get on the boat. And then do you want me to just tell you how it ends?
Yeah, because I'm not going to go back and listen.
Because it actually does have a pretty, I mean, it's a horrific ending, but it has humor at the end. So they at some point had come across like people who had been on the beach or something and their clothing had been burning just from like all the heat or whatever. And this one woman gets on the same rescue boat, the final rescue boat that he's on, which then they have to get through the storm because once they finally get to safety, then they have to navigate the storm away from the winds with the hurricane that's offshore.
Jesus Christ.
And he sees this, he comes across this one woman and he's like trying to find something to like cover his face from the heat or something. And she offers him, she says, well, I found this, I have this pair of underwear. And he's like, I don't really want to put somebody's dirty underwear up to my face. And then he looks and he realizes it's his underwear. And that this total stranger that he randomly encounters on this rescue boat. And I don't think he had come across her at all, had been like in her bathing suit on the beach. She had found his fucking clothing and she was wearing his shirt. She had picked up the underwear with the shirt and offers him his own underwear back to him. So that's what he was able to do to like shield his face.
So wait, what was he wearing?
I think that he had to like take his clothes off to because he was afraid that it was going to burn because he was like literally rescuing people from fire.
So he was naked?
I don't know because I missed that part of the story until he said, oh, that's my underwear. And then I was like, do I have to go back? No, I kind of want to go back.
Right?
Oh, it is a crazy story, but that does end. That's one of those like, oh my God, are you kidding me moments? Like I get to safety and somebody's like, you've lost everything. Your entire everything has burned down. God. But you know what?
You had been wearing, right? But you get back. Oh my gosh.
He also said that he had thrown a bunch of stuff when they first evacuated and didn't know how bad it was. He had thrown a bunch of stuff in a plastic bag. Because he thought he was just so, that could have also, it could have just fallen out. I have to go back and re-listen to that one part to because it's a, yeah. But
right. Well, and all that chaos to have that moment of clarity of like, oh, wait, this is mine. It's not just like, oh, that's the brand of underwear I wear. It's like, no, this garment is actually mine.
I know, it kind of made me wonder, like, what identifying factors.
Exactly. Like, what do these underwear look like?
Geometric patterns.
Just like, your sort of standard generic undies.
Yeah.
Did he, like embroider them with his name?
But he did recognize that she was wearing his shirt. And it was a shirt that he had gotten when he was in Vegas in, like, 2016 or 2013 or something that he had, was like, oh, that's my shirt. But, yeah, crazy. No, but their coverage has been heartbreaking. However, where I was starting with this, piggybacking off of the airlines sucking, they had something about that was maybe a week or so ago. Like I said, I did a big catch up today, and it was talking about the cost of climate change. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about how at this point, it's actually indoor workers' productivity that is taking a big hit because the factories and whatnot don't have air conditioning because it used to be like, something in Chicago, they would have to suck it up for a week in the summer, but otherwise they weren't having temperatures this big. Mm-hmm. And now, you know what I'm talking about, Amanda?
I did listen to that one and that it was just like too cost prohibitive to air condition these large warehouse spaces that like hundreds of millions of dollars. Like it's just like too hard for these smaller companies invest that money.
Kind of makes me wonder, like, how many, like, mom and pop businesses are owning these big companies? You know what I mean? Like, is it then a mom, technically mom and pop business? But regardless, it was just crazy to me that like we are where we are and gotten to the point in this society where businesses are willing to take the, it's more cost prohibitive to just to give people living working conditions than it's, you get more profits if they have to close down or people have to take off because it's too hot, or just let them die, which is crazy to me that that's mm-hmm. where we are. Yeah. Like, I get it's expensive, but like, I don't know, maybe the federal government, maybe part of the Infrastructure Act could give some, mm-hmm. and maybe it is giving some money towards that stuff. I don't know. I haven't looked into that, but I do know.
A wild situation to be in.
It is. It is crazy. Yeah. I do know that Republican states and businesses really don't like taking money from the federal government when they could get help. A la Florida, which has lost, what is it, like $346 million or $46 million worth of federal aid because DeSantis refused the one, like, smaller bit of aid.
Whatever. What a fucking dumbass. Yeah. I mean, speaking of Republicans, I was reading an article the other day that was like, where are all the, you know, the Republican candidates, like, where do they stand on all these key issues? And climate change was one of them. And it was just, I, like, knew it, but, like, to like really read it on paper, every single candidate like either outright denied climate change, or even the ones that were more sort of like willing to accept the science a little bit, still didn't think that we necessarily needed to be taking any measures to try to reduce it. Like the best that any of them, you know, it goes from like wanting to like, you know, make things a million times worse by just keep you, you know, using fossil fuels and everything, goes from that to like the very best of the field of these fucking presidential candidates are, or hopefuls, the very best of them are just willing to do like some sort of like, take some measures to live with, you know, where we're at. That's like the best that they can do. Not even, nobody.
Nobody wants to like tackle the problem.
Right. Nobody wants to even, and it's just like,
because it doesn't pull well with the base.
Which
well, they don't even believe in climate change, the base. That's the thing. Mm-hmm.
But like there comes we're in that time, and it's only going to get worse from here on out, where you can't, like, it's in front of us. It's affecting these communities. It's, I mean, this summer has been insane, and it's only going to get more insane. Like, you can't deny what is happening, and Do you and like people have to pay for that. So mm-hmm. when there's a major disaster, people have to pay for, like, you know, like rebuilding everything that was destroyed on Maui, like, you know, shit like that. Like, that costs money. So I don't, the argument of like, oh well, we can't, you know, allocate money to like fight against global warming because it's too expensive. It's like, well, we're gonna pay for it one way or the other,
right?
Yeah, I don't understand.
It's kind of like taking care of your car. Like, if you ignore it, all of a sudden your transmission breaks, and then you're on the hook for either 10 grand for a new transmission or buying a brand new car when you could have just fixed the part. Or yeah, it might have sucked to spend $1,000 you know, beforehand, but now, you know, you're out of luck for exactly. something lot more.
That's a very good analogy of where we perfect. Are currently. That is yes. the nail. That is our situation.
Do you know what's even more frustrating? So my fucking idiot cousins on Instagram are doing like the Instagram stories that literally they are saying that until we submit to their climate agenda, they'll keep setting fires until we submit to, you know, blah, blah, blah. So essentially they're saying that
the government is setting these fires.
Apparently the government is.
Did the government like go over to Europe and set some international fires?
No, it's another government, because there's like
there's a global conspiracy,
the,
of course.
Okay. The cabal, yeah, right, deep state is everywhere.
Sorry, I forgot. Yeah.
And they truly
that sounds really plausible.
That it is liberal shadow government, Democrats, blah blah blah, who want to make you submit to their will. So they're doing things like causing extreme fires and you know, flooding and hurricanes and blah blah blah. And it's just like, that's because there's a conspiracy going around from the on the right that the government wanted to buy the land in Lahaina, which I have been to twice, actually. I've been to Maui twice, and I've been to Lahaina you know, both times. And that tree, that like symbolic tree, I've got pictures there. It's really a shame. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. And like, I'm just so devastated for all that they've lost. But apparently the government wanted to buy that land, and then the natives wouldn't sell it to them. And then all of a sudden the whole thing has burned down. And it's just like, I don't really think that's a thing. And it's probably very easily verifiable.
But like, there's like a huge like land grab attempt now. Like,
right. So they couldn't get it going hard. There's all these private developers that are now trying to buy that land up. Like, how do they feel about that? That's cool, though. So long as, you know, rich white guys are trying to buy the land, it's fine. That's America. That's capitalism. That's freedom.
Jesus Christ.
I was listening to a podcast that was talking about conspiracy theories and how they work. And one of the things that they pointed out was like, anytime you get these, like the idea, anything that's, so for any conspiracy, okay. For it to actually be true, if you think about the amount of people who are like, you know, in the know, that would have to sort of like be in on it and all like keep their mouth shut and stuff. The bigger that number gets, like the less likely it is to be true. Cause I think they were talking about like vaccine stuff with COVID and stuff. Like the idea that, you know, the scope of this would like globally, that like all these doctors and everyone is somehow in on this conspiracy to, you know, if for the people that think like the vaccine is bad and blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And like the, you know, the vaccines cause X, Y, or Z, like the fact that like that many people and globally would have to be somehow in on it. And like, what are they even getting out of it? I was like, that's a really, like, I like that way of looking at it because it's fucking true. Like, yeah, it's just not probable.
I know. Yeah, I know. Okay. Let's put a pin in it there. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will do the feedback. All right. We are back and we're ready to get into your feedback. Starting with the facey back. Randy says, I didn't have Shandy going full QAnon on my 2023 bingo card. Jessica says, Colleen travel stories are always fun for the listeners anyway. And Matt said, in the very stacked cast of Oppenheimer, did you recognize Margaret's dad, Colleen? No, I don't think I did. Did I? I don't think I did.
Apparently he's there.
Right now, I can't even picture.
With those glasses or without those glasses?
I can't even picture him in my head right now.
That's fair.
Big fluffy hair and glasses. That's all I remember.
He's in the chat, so he'll have to inform me who it was. Speaking of in the chat, let me interrupt this facey back real quick. Matt said, I don't know if I said, but supposedly Girls 5 Eva is coming to Netflix. Great there hasn't news. Been any updates in like 6 months, but I think they were able to finish filming before the strike start. I think I remember seeing that as well, that they were going to switch over to Netflix, which is
exciting. That would be wonderful. Then I could watch
it. Yeah, exactly. Yes. I can't pay for any more streamers. It's too much.
And they all just raised their prices again.
Exactly. Can't be doing this. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Barbie. Randy said, just saw it tonight. Loved it. Barbie was deliciously subversive. It will make a certain faction's head explode, at least if they are savvy enough to understand. Nicole said, I saw Barbie last night and enjoyed it. Laughed quite a bit. Thought the product placement was a bit unnecessary, but I'd probably watch it again. Margaret says, love Barbie. Need to see it again. Dennis said, as someone who was not in a hurry to see Barbie and has not seen it yet, I must say I'm curious as to why it is getting so many good reviews, trying not to get spoiled until I can see it for myself. Well, I hope you go see it. Yes. And then moving into the butt, his classified documents in the bathroom, which is the new Butter She Mouse. before we do that, Matt says, Margaret's dad is one of the scientists who betrayed Oppenheimer. Spoiler. Oh, shit. Sorry. But you know what? It's history.
It's history. Not like, read books, guys.
Emily Blunt stiffs him when he tries to shake her hand. Oh, yes, 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 yes. I know who you're talking about. I did think that dude looked familiar, actually. And now I know why. All right. We actually have a two-part voicemail from Maggie. So let's move into that. Buckle in. Here we go.
Hey, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. It's Maggie. I'm calling in from a walk because there's a plane going ahead. Sorry. With some Barbie or Oppenheimer feedback. I did kind of a delayed Oppenheimer. I did Oppenheimer on Thursday night. When the week it came out, Friday night, I watched the U.S. Women in the World Cup. And then Saturday, went to Barbie with friends. Oppenheimer is really good. Go see it. I was afraid it was going to be a movie you watch once and never watch again. But it is not. And I definitely want to watch it again to catch some things and to pause because it's long. I mean, it's a long movie, but it's really good. It's kind of like three movies almost in one. It's kind of crazy. Okay, but on to Barbie because, you know, she's everything and he's just a Ken. I love that you did the message about nothing. She's everything. He's just a Ken. Me, I have that one on my phone. I love that one so much. The old woman on the bench, that is Anne Roth, who is a costume designer. And she's won tons of awards for lots of things. So, yes, she was someone. Just not an actress. But, yeah. Her list of movies and stuff that she's done is insane. So I'm look her up on IMDb. Barbie was amazing. I laughed and I cried both times and I loved it. It was great. There was a comment Dan Savage made, which was kind of has stuck with me a little bit, which doesn't affect my love of the movie, but it is something to sort of think about. Is Dan Savage talked about how all the gay boys who played with their sisters Barbies and how that wasn't really mentioned in the movie. I was like, oh, darn. But you know what? We can't include everything for everything all the time, everything for everyone all the time, because it's really hard when you try and sometimes it doesn't work. So, but I love Barbie very much. Can't wait to watch it again. Friends and I dressed up to go see it. And we are also going to do a party when it comes out because I have a friend who doesn't like to go to theaters for things. So we're going to do another big party coming up because I think I saw it might be on streaming in like September. Is that possible? I mean, it's still making money in the movie theater, so I'm not sure if that's true. Hey, bro, just me again. I swear I was almost done. I know, that's what she said. Actually, what would you ladies do if I only sent one voicemail? I think you would think I was sick or something. I know, I ramble. All right. So, yes, Barbie was awesome. And, yes, love it, love it, love it. Might make it to the hangout tonight, Tuesday, when you're listening to this. But Ahsoka is coming out, and I'm super, super, super excited for Ahsoka. Star Wars character, and I love Ahsoka. I've been doing the Clone Wars Rebels rewatch. Actually, Disney Plus has all the Ahsoka, all the Ahsoka Tano Essential episodes that I've been watching. So yes, I might be in Star Wars land on Tuesday, watching Ahsoka. But I will listen to you guys. See you later. All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I hear you, Maggie, about Ahsoka. We watched the last few episodes of Rebels tonight before we started recording, and I'm very excited to go watch the premiere as well. Super stoked. She gave us the 411 on the lady on the bench.
Yeah, that was exciting to know.
Yeah, it was. Matt says in the chat, spoiler, I also tell you about Anne Roth. Well, there we go. Great minds think alike. Well, cool. Thank you. Thank you for letting us know, Maggie. I'm glad you liked it. And I'm glad you also liked Oppenheimer. One of these days, we'll all talk about it.
Indeed. I will hopefully hopefully it will be in the theaters long enough for me to get there and see it.
Same.
It's definitely a theater movie. I will say that.
Yeah, I really do want to see it in the theater. So it really is, you know,
yeah,
a priority.
Yes, this is tough to find 3 hours because it is really hella long.
Yeah. we have to get a babysitter.
Yeah.
I need to figure this out. It's pandemic's over. We need a professional babysitter.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Maggie, for the voicemails. I don't know what we would do if we only got one from you.
Start looking for a second one. And we must have deleted it. Where's the second one?
Although I have to say, we always have technical difficulties when it comes to Maggie voicemails, and I don't know why. Shandy is muted, but she is laughing.
Yeah. Just lucky, I guess.
All right. We've got one final email from Matt, who also says in the chat, don't know if you saw it, but I also saw Theater Camp and highly recommend it. I know that's on my very long list.
Yeah.
That's what I hear. It's on the list, although I don't know if it's still playing around me. Anyway, all right, Matt's email. Woo.
All right. Let's see. Matt writes in, come on, broadcast. Let's go, podcast.
Yeah.
Nicely done, Matt. So he writes, hey, broads, for starters, I apologize for not using that as the subject line for the last one.
That's okay. We could have used it as an episode title, and we forgot to.
Yeah, you found it now.
The woman on the bench is Oscar-winning costume designer Anne Roth. She's been working since the 60s and is still at it, with her most recent work being in Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret. There are so many... Yeah,
everyone is in this movie. Like, it's all connected. It's a huge cast.
Some theorized it was Barbara Handler, Ruth's daughter, and Barbie's namesake. I agree that Barbie's ad campaign was great, and considering how much advertising we got for this movie, it's commendable how much they didn't give away. That's
a good
point. Yeah.
That last line, which Gerwig described as a mic drop, may go down as one of the best final lines in movie history. Not only is it a big laugh, but it's also a solid culmination of the story. As for Barbenheimer, I watched Barbie first because I'm hardcore. That or my friend I was seeing Oppenheimer with picked a screening where Barbie first worked the best for me. Ultimately, the win-win of Barbenheimer that the studios won't learn from is that it ultimately worked because both films were made by talented filmmakers who were good fits for their subject material. It's not something dumb studio execs are capable of manufacturing in between not paying their damn employees. Really, it only happened because of a pissing match between Nolan and Warner Brothers.
So yes. Oh my God. Yes. Sorry. I learned this last week.
I'm about to learn it.
I don't think I know the story either.
Okay, so more mansplaining. Nolan's movie releases since The Dark Knight have been scheduled for the third week of July, except for Interstellar. Tenet was scheduled for the third week in July, but 2020 happened and it got bumped. Nolan didn't like that, as he was such a proponent for the theater experience that he forgot about the plague going around. Then Warner Brothers put all their 2021 releases on HBO Max the same day, and Nolan took his toys and went to Universal, which gave him his usual spot.
Hold on, Shandy. He released a super pissy statement about how... let me see if I can find the statement. It's so fucking amazing. It's so hilariously bitchy. It is salt upon salt upon salt. And you're just like, wow, did he think that he was going to get anything other than what he got? It's finished reading it, and then I'll find the statement while you're reading it, because it is one of those statements where you're like, oh, this is a little unprofessional. Okay, sorry.
Okay, so Nolan took his toys and went to Universal, which gave him his usual spot. So Warner Brothers put their sure shot blockbuster up against a 3-hour prestige meditation on mankind's propensity for destruction, only for the general public to embrace both, because what a concept, you can see both. Also, fuck execs, pay the people.
Yes.
Anyway, I gotta go read The Godfather Notebook and learn how to play acoustic guitar for the next time we're all in the same room.
Amazing. Okay, here's the statement. Are you ready? Because so right. Barbie is now the highest grossing domestic release for Warner Brothers, and the film that it beat out was The Dark Knight, which is Christopher Nolan's, July 20, 2008 movie. So he had to have been super pissy. So, but here's the statement, right? He said, "Some of our industry's biggest filmmakers and most important movie stars went to bed the night before thinking they were working for the greatest movie studio and woke up to find out they were working for the worst streaming service."
Damn.
So bitchy.
Damn.
Oh my.
Ouch.
He was still working for Warner Brothers at the time. Mm. That's so bitchy. But I guess when you're like a rich white dude who's used to getting their way, you can say whatever you want and have your bluff be called. Anyway, love this for him. Yeah. For all of them. Love this for all of them. Mm-hmm. Except the studio execs. Fuck you guys. Pay people
more. Yeah. Pay people.
Anyway, thank you for that very informative email, Matt, including reminding me what I had just read a mere week ago about Chris Nolan. Awesome. Okay. Anybody else? Sorry. I realized I did that thing I do where I got very excited because I love a good salty bitch statement. All right. On that note, anybody have anything else?
Nope.
Otherwise, I'm gonna go get my Ahsoka on. Love you all, but come on.
Yep.
All right.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, on that note, thank you all for listening. We appreciate it. Thank you to Matt for joining us. Any other Hangout Level patrons want to join us? We'll be here next month. We'll come up with a time. I don't know what our next themed topic show is going to be. We never actually just even talked about it. So we will have to put our thinking caps on for, I don't know. Mm.
I will say I started Yellow Jackets.
Oh, I have to start it, but I could start it. I could finish it.
I need to re-up my showtime.
And I mean, it doesn't have to be for next time because it's going to take a while to get through the whole season, but just staying.
Let's put that on our radar then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. And we'll figure out a time. Matt said Sex Education comes out 9/21. I know, but I didn't really like the last season of Sex Education.
Oh, I did, I think. No, I'm not sure.
It was with a baby, and then they broke up at the end. Remember? It was really weird.
I don't remember the details of the last season, but I'm sure I liked it, and I didn't even, I guess, realize that another season is coming out. So that was
the last season, and I don't think Emma Mackey is in it. I don't think the dude that's the friend that's also in Barbie, because he's going to be the new Doctor Who, so I don't think he's in it. I think the cast is very different.
Oh, well, that's...
Okay. Yeah, because she, the season ends where she's going off to do a semester in America.
Right.
Which I suppose, it's like stories have figured out that, component of storytelling of, they have their own individual scenes,
What happens is it gets cut short or the person changes their mind and then by episode two they're back
they're back and it's nothing ever happened. I don't want that for Maeve, so maybe it is for the best that she just is not in this season. We will miss her.
Matt says, you see I put Matt what she said on the Facebook. I didn't see that, but we'll mm-hmm. say that for next time. Sorry about that, Matt. And then he also had the girl from Bridgerton and a few others aren't in it. Okay. I don't even know which girl Bridgerton.
Yeah, the love interest in the second season of Bridgerton.
Oh, I haven't watched that yet.
Is that the character's name?
I don't know. Okay. We'll throw all these things on our radar and we'll figure it out. Thank you all for listening. We will talk to you next week. If you have any feedback, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or give us a call 331-276-2373, or you can, voice record yourself and put it in email. That works too. Thank you to the patrons, especially the ones that contribute a certain level, and that be Eckhart Rickner, Maggie the Magnificent, Joel with the Plan, and Ed the Creepy Poopy Head Mailman. Thank you very much. And I think that's it. We'll do a bonus show next week. We'll pull out the old Mad Libs and do a Labor Day themed bonus show. How about that?
Sounds good.
Great.
Awesome. All right. Well, on that note, everybody, thank you so much. We will talk to you soon. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.